President Trump tweeted this morning that he's chosen CNBC commentator Larry Kudlow to be his top economic advisor, and that the country will see years of great economic and financial success with low taxes and fair trade. Speaking yesterday at a Boeing plant in St. Louis, the president also promised more tax cuts.
And we're now going for a phase two. We're actually going for a phase two, which will help, in addition to the middle class, will help companies, and it's going to be something, I think, very special. Kevin Brady is working on
it. Joining us now is Ali Velshi, MSNBC anchor and economics correspondent and co-host of Velshi and Rule. Hi, Ali.
Hey, Jeremy.
Are we going to see a second round of tax cuts?
Well, we don't have any details at the moment, but it looks like, as Donald Trump said, he and the House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Brady are signaling something that's going to be coming up. Brady had said that the new changes, if there are any, are going to be related to extending the individual tax cuts. As you know, those are slated to expire in 2025,
right.
And that's some of what they're talking about.
And the reason that they slated those to expire in 2025 was to keep the cost down on
Correct.
The tax cut package. So if they were to expend them, make them permanent, it would obviously make it more expensive.
That is correct. So it might be a little bit of sleight of hand. The Republicans have made no secret of the fact that they expect and are banking on the fact that the individual tax cuts don't expire in 2025. It's part of how they sold it, because a lot of people were saying, wait a second, you've got these permanent tax cuts for corporations,
right.
but only temporary tax cuts for individuals. And a lot of Republicans said, no, don't worry, we'll make them permanent tax cuts for individuals.
Okay, so what about Larry Kudlow, the CNBC commentator? He's replacing the outgoing director of the National Economic Council, Gary Cohn, who resigned last week after disagreeing with the president's plans for tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. But it turns out Kudlow has not been a big fan of the tariffs either. He called them a bad omen on CNBC earlier this month.
In the Reagan years, we used to call the free traders the white hats and the protectionists the black hats.
Mm-hmm.
The black hats won this time around. I'm very sorry, as it will damage the economy to some extent. There's
Is Kudlow going to have to change his tune on tariffs?
Well, it's interesting because the president said Kudlow has come around to the president's way of thinking. And Kudlow said the president is more nuanced than the media gives him credit for being. But, I mean, I have never met a bigger free trader than Larry Kudlow. Kudlow's had on-the-record comments about this for decades, right? He worked in the Reagan White House. He was the chief economist for Bear Stearns. He is about as free trade a guy as you've ever met. So what he's saying now is that you can use tariffs in order to get better free trade, get better deals, to use them as negotiating points when, renegotiating deals. It's not exactly how Donald Trump's been conducting himself, and the steel tariffs have not really matched that. So I don't know whether Kudlow's changing his tune or they're both sort of trying to make it look like they think more like each other than they do.
Meanwhile, Ali, in the Senate yesterday, a bipartisan vote to pass a bill that would relax some banking regulations that were part of the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill, which was put in place after
Yep.
the financial crisis to prevent future financial crises. What does this bill do?
Well, a number of Democrats voted with Republicans to pass this bill, but, Elizabeth Warren is still very much against it. Part of what this bill does is it raises the limit from $50 billion to $250 billion in assets that would be the threshold for banks to be designated as systemically important financial institutions. So, in other words, a bank can be much bigger before it is subject to the strictest scrutiny by federal authorities. That worries some people because if you think about Countrywide, which was, it sort of triggered the subprime mortgage crisis. Countrywide was $221 billion at the time, so it would then not be subject to the most strict of regulation. So that's part of what it is. Companies like American Express, KeyCorp, BB&T would be freed from many of the compliance costs. The way to think about this bill is it's a modernization of Dodd-Frank, which a lot of people, including Barney Frank, thought needed to be modernized. But a lot of Democrats are saying it's gone too far.
And some people look at the Senate doing this and say, did we learn nothing from the financial crisis, the biggest one since the Great Depression?
Yeah, I mean, it is 10 years today from the failing of Bear Stearns.
Right.
And, one thing that we've learned is that the big banks controlled a very, very big part of financial markets and the economy. And actually, the big banks today control more of it than they did back then. So, you'll talk to some people and they say what happened in 2008, 2009 could never happen again. But there are a lot of people who say, actually, it possibly can. And Elizabeth Warren and others are of the group who say, if you don't regulate these companies properly, they won't regulate themselves. They'll take bigger risks and affect the economy.
It's Ali Velshi, MSNBC anchor and economics correspondent and co-host of Velshi and Rule. Ali, thanks as always.
Thank you.